Hey y'all, welcome to the Taking Care of Bitcoin podcast. Here we talk to Bitcoin noobs and answer all their new to Bitcoin questions. So if you're new to Bitcoin or you're curious about Bitcoin, you've come to the right place. Let's take care of it. TCB, baby. Hey everybody, welcome back to TCB for another TCB short. And today we're going to be tackling the question, how does Bitcoin work? So we'll take a quick look under the hood of how Bitcoin works and give a really basic overview of what happens when you're kind of sending or receiving a Bitcoin transaction. So if you're not brand new to Bitcoin, this may be a little too basic for you. If you are new to Bitcoin, we're just going to try to give you an idea of precisely what's happening kind of behind the curtain. So the basics of what Bitcoin is Bitcoin is a decentralized open source computer protocol. So it's a software program. The code of this program can be seen by anybody, verified by anybody, and run by anybody. So it's just an opt-in software that's run now on tens of thousands of computers worldwide that all run the same software, that all creates this network so that they all abide by the same rules. So every one of these computers that's choosing to run this software maintains an identical copy of what's called the blockchain. And I'm sure you probably heard the term blockchain, but all the blockchain is just a ledger record of all of the transactions that have ever been sent in the history of Bitcoin since its inception in 2009. So you can kind of think of that ledger as just a giant spreadsheet or like a giant stack of cyber post office boxes, which if you ever want to move value from one box to another, nothing ever leaves this network. But if you want to send value from one box to another, you use what's called your private key, and then you find the public address of some other place that you want to send value to. You sign the transaction and you send it over. So you have like these like public-private key pairs. And the way you could think about that is a public key kind of derives a public address, and this is how you receive transactions. So this key or this address could be put on a t-shirt. This is what you would email to somebody or show somebody when you want to receive Bitcoin over the network. And the private key is what's not seen by everybody else. The private key is what allows you to verify and digitally sign a transaction, say this is valid, and send it to the network to be sent. So a public key can be derived from a private key, but the private key cannot be derived from the public key. It's a one-way street, like a cryptographic one-way street. So you cannot see a public address and derive a private key from that address. But if you have a private key, you can derive a public address that you can send around and receive value, if that makes sense. So I think the easiest way to do this is maybe to walk through exactly what happens when you send a Bitcoin transaction. So first, you're going to initiate a transaction by scanning a QR code or pasting an address, a public address of where you want to send value. And then you'll sign that transaction with your private key. That's going to say like, yes, I want to sign this. I want to send this to the network. I want to send it to this public address. And then that transaction will be sent to a node on the network. This can either be your own node. You can run the software yourself and you can run your own node. Or likely will be whatever wallet provider you are using. They will send it to their node and then it'll get propagated through the network. So the nodes are all just computers running the same software. So they'll receive a transaction. They'll verify that it's a valid transaction. And then they'll propagate it through the network. They'll send it to all the other nodes. All the nodes will agree, yes, I agree, this is a valid transaction. They'll propagate it along. And then it ends up in what's called the mempool, which is just kind of a holding pen for valid transactions waiting to be added to the Bitcoin blockchain. So I like to think of the mempool like a good analogy is like a bus stop. All the valid transactions go to the bus stop, and they're waiting there because every 10 minutes, one miner comes by. All the miners are constructing a block of valid transactions. And then one of the miners is chosen to be kind of the anointed miner that gets to add an official block to the blockchain. So we'll go into that real quickly. The way that that miner is chosen is there's kind of a mathematical competition going on. And all they're really doing is trying to guess a number below a certain threshold. So just imagine this to make it really easy. If all the miners are trying to guess a number less than number 1 through 10 or so, but they're trying to guess a number less than 3. And what they're doing is they're taking all the data inside the block that they're constructing, and they're hashing it, doing a cryptographic hash on that data, and then also adding one, they're changing one element, which is just a number used once. So basically just a random number generation that changes the hash, gives you a different output. They don't know what that is because it's randomly generated, so they're just guessing. The first one that gets a number below that threshold, they kind of win this lottery. I like to think of it like a lottery. That miner wins that lottery. He's like, you're the official miner. He takes the block that he's constructed. So he gets to be the bus that comes to the bus stop, picks up the transactions he's chosen to include. And then that gets added to the official blockchain ledger, which again is just the history of all the transactions that have ever happened on the Bitcoin blockchain. So then this updated ledger gets sent back over the network to all of the nodes and all of the miners, so everybody's on the same sheet of music. And then this entire process, this entire kind of competition just starts again, where all the miners construct a block, they're trying to guess that number to be the chosen miner, and, you know, just a continuous loop. The beat goes on. So every 10 minutes, there's more and more transactions getting added to the network and propagated through the network. So that's the real, real down and dirty basic view. But I think the important thing to understand about Bitcoin is it's not as important to understand exactly how it works. I mean, that was a very, very basic overview of how this software is choosing to process transactions. It's not so important to understand exactly how that works. It's really just important to trust that it does work. So Bitcoin's been around since 2009. This software has been running 24/7 on any computer that opts in to run it. And it's had an uptime of 99.99%. So it's one of the most reliable networks that's ever been devised. And due to that decentralization, due to the fact that it's just software run voluntarily by tens of thousands of computers worldwide, it cannot be shut down and it cannot be hacked. So it's very, very resilient. It's very, very robust. And it's very kind of anti-fragile to get any kind of chaotic thing that may happen anywhere on Earth because of that decentralization. Because in order to stop it or in order to make any change to it or in order to try to hack it, you can't just attack it in one place. You have to attack it kind of everywhere and anywhere and everywhere. So it takes some time to build that trust. But the important thing is to know that it does work, even if you don't necessarily understand exactly how it does work. Because think of all the technologies that we use on a daily basis, like the internet. The internet runs on a TCP/IP protocol. You're listening to this on some device somewhere, or if you do a Skype call, or you use streaming podcasts, you stream video or music or social media, anything over the internet. You know, we understand that the internet works, but there's only a few people that can really explain to you exactly how the internet works. And this is true for any other technology, from televisions to, imagine, microwaves or refrigeration or air conditioning or washers and dryers or planes and trains and automobiles. I mean, any example goes on. You know, there's experts in every one of those things, but most of us only maybe have a basic understanding on how any of those technologies work. But we do know that they do work. We trust that they do work. So I think even in Bitcoin's case, it's the same story. It's not so important to understand all the technicalities of exactly how this works. You just have to trust that it does work. And I think my recommendation for trusting how it works is just to go try it out. So I would say buy a little bit of Bitcoin, not as an investment. You may think of it as an investment at this point, or think about whether it's an investment or should I invest in it, but just use it as a learning opportunity. So I would say buy a little bit of it on a place like Strike or Swan or River. Then you'll have some, whatever. I mean, it could be a very small amount. Like, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. A lot of people think they have to like really jump into this with tons of capital in order to get involved. You could buy a very, very small amount of Bitcoin. I'm just think $10, $50, $100, something like that. And then you can download a wallet, Moon or Phoenix or Breeze, one of these non-custodial wallets that the wallet actually lives on your phone. Or so the private keys, as we talked about, that'll actually be on your phone. You'll have a wallet. And then just send it back and forth. You know, send it from Strike to Moon, and then send it from Moon to Phoenix, or Moon to Breeze, or send it back to Swaz. Point being, it's not a stovepipe system like when you have Venmo, you can only send Venmo to Venmo. Or if you you're splitting a check with your friends, that it's, hey, do you have PayPal? Do you have Venmo? Do you have Zelle? Whatever it'll be. But you can only send PayPal to PayPal, or Venmo to Venmo, or Zelle to Zelle. The beauty about this is being an open protocol, just like the internet. Imagine when you send an email and you don't have to send from Gmail to Gmail or Yahoo to Yahoo or, you know, whatever it would be, Hotmail to Hotmail, .net to .net. They all speak to each other because they're all speaking the same language. They're all speaking that underlying TCP/IP internet protocol language. And here, all of these Bitcoin wallets are speaking the Bitcoin language. So you don't have to go Venmo to Venmo. You can send from Strike to Moon and Moon to Phoenix and Phoenix to Breeze. And I know that probably if you're brand new to Bitcoin, that doesn't mean anything to you now. But just download them, and then you can kind of send transactions back and forth between your friends or your family or yourself. And you can kind of just realize, okay, it works. And it's really not that complicated. It's complicated if you maybe try to understand the nuts and bolts. But the just using Bitcoin is as simple as scanning a QR code and hitting send. So, I mean, we've done that 100 times, whether you use Apple Pay or you look at a menu at a restaurant, and you just have to be comfortable that although you may not understand all the technicalities of how it works, you'll be comfortable that it does work. And once you kind of realize that, you'll understand the kind of financial empowerment tool that you're suddenly holding in your hand, where you have something that can, you know, you can hold value in a way that cannot be debased. It cannot be censored. No one could stop those transactions. It cannot be confiscated. And you can send it 24/7 anywhere on earth as long as it sees a QR code or an address that it recognizes. And it goes through that process we just talked about. So I think that's the big takeaway here, is understanding kind of the basic level under the hood dynamics of what's going on is helpful. But at the end of the day, the important thing is just how I don't really understand how the internet works under the hood. I can trust that it does work because I have experience using it and I've seen it to be reliable. And Bitcoin will be the same way. So it's not so important to know how it works. It's just important to trust that it does work. So I hope that helps. As always, any follow-up questions, I am always available. So reach out, and if anybody would like to get their specific questions answered, I'm always looking for guests to come on the show and get their specific questions answered, so reach out for that too. So I hope that helps a little bit. That's how Bitcoin works. Don't sweat it too much. Just understand that it does work. Trust it, and you'll have a great financial empowerment tool in the palm of your hand. So hope that helps, y'all. We'll talk to you next time. All right, see ya. All right. Thank you all for tuning in to the Taking Care of Bitcoin podcast. If you want to get in touch, find me on Twitter at TCBcoin. That's at TCBcoin. And Bitcoin conversations are always better in person. So you want to join us for Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville. It'll be July 25th through the 27th. Link in the show notes. Use discount code TCB. Get yourself a 10% discount. All right. Catch you all next time. See ya.